welcome to another episode of Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Joseph and Anu is here with me.
Hello.
Today we want to visit a question we received from a young man by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is asking a relationship question. So Zach says, if God is leading me in the direction of a lady as my wife to be, in other words, God's will, that's his words, not mine, and such a lady has a bad character and bad attitude, am I permitted to go on with such a relationship? That's Zach's question. I'll take it again. If God is leading me in the direction of a lady as my wife to be, my God's will, and such a lady has a bad character and bad attitude, am I permitted to go on with such a relationship? First thoughts.
I'll say, thank God if you know that she has bad character now. It's better to marry someone who's plain about their behavior and their character than to be shocked after you marry them, say, eh? So you can talk like this or do this or not do that. So I'll just say, thank God that you know now. Then I'll hand over to Kola to raise a second point.
What you just said reminds me of a pro. I don't know if it's a saying, I suppose, that the devil you know is better than the angel you do not know. But I mean, for me, I'll actually back up and you know, probe some of the seeming assumptions in the question. You say God is leading you in the direction of it, and that's, I mean, that's just Christianese. What does it even mean to say God leads you in the direction of somebody? Not whatever that means, but I'm supposed to know what that means, and I think I understand what Zach is saying. But I just thought to, first of all, probe what that Christianese translates to.
That's right.
But then, what does it really look like to say God is leading you in the direction of a lady as your wife to be? In other words, you're saying this is the person that is God's will for you. We can take it on the authority of your claims and agree with you that indeed God is leading you. But I just thought to say that's where to start from. Let's be 100% sure that we're on the same page with what that means. And for God to lead you in the direction of a lady, at least the way I understand it, it's presupposes, amongst other things, that you have a relationship with that God. It presupposes, amongst other things, that you hear God, basically, like you can hear him. In which case, if you do have such an access to this God who resides in you as the Holy Spirit and communicates with you, then the question you have asked is actually a question for that God and not for some podcast hosts. Because if God is the one that is saying, that's the girl I want you to marry, and then you have a question about that girl, you shouldn't be asking a third party. Yes, you should go back to that God and say, this girl that you're saying I should marry has bad attitude and bad character. And I'm not just saying that to make Zach feel bad or anything, but it's practically our story in a manner of speaking from both our ends. I think we've actually done an episode or a couple of episodes in which we've referenced this. But there's a part of our love story or the story of our relationship that involves the fact that what I was saying and what I looked like and the kind of responses I was giving to the questions she was asking, especially after I'd asked her to marry me and she was taking her time to clarify that prayerfully before giving me a response, many of the responses I was giving were totally contradictory, if you will, to what she believed she had heard from God about the person she was going to be marrying. So on the one hand, she feels like God is saying, yeah, that's your husband. On the other hand, this husband is not speaking and sounding like the person that God has said she's going to marry. And so there's a conflict. She did not go about asking third parties about that. She went back to that God. And do you want to share about that in your own words so that I'm not just sharing your story on your behalf?
Yes, I see what you mean about Zach going back to God. That's true. And it's possible that I might. I would answer your question and do the story if I justify what Zach has done. So mine was that God told me that the person I'll be marrying will be a pastor. Because I met this man, and God said, he's my husband. Mm. I mean, God lied beside me, that's what I'm saying, this man. And God is saying, God said to me that he was my husband, he's my husband.
All of you God said people, I fear you, but continue.
Then I met him, and he was talking about public relations, I mean, my public health, and masters, and the things he told me when I asked him what his future plans were things a lady would like to hear. Things like, oh, I've got someone working in the public health sector, and I can get into that in masters. But the more he said it, the more I tilted my head and I looked at him like, are you sure? Like, I didn't say it out loud. I just felt, this is interesting. But then, while you were actually talking, Kola, mm-hmm. I was checking it with him in my mind, like, what is he saying? Like, I'm asking the spirit, what is he saying? But he let me finish, then I went to the hostel or something. And I clarified again, is he a pastor or is he not?
Mm.
And they told me he will come to. I think that's the word I heard.
Yeah.
He will come to. So I went back to him. And I think the reason I could do that was because I had always had that one-on-one go to the Holy Spirit to clarify. Maybe Zach has always been the type where they need third parties to confirm what they know is true.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard it and believed it because I had always been this stronger, no third party involved person. But there are some people that operate within the support of their circles, and mm-hmm. he's choosing you to be a circle.
No, I'm not saying that Zach has entirely done wrong by reaching out to ask. That's absolutely fine. In the multitude of cancer, there is safety.
Mm.
And that's why we are actually then offering counsel, but it's just that part of the counsel involves that, okay, maybe this is where Zach should even have started from to begin with. Go back to God. But of course, yeah, and I thought that chapter of our story was really apt to point Zach in a practical hands-on life-on-life experience about what that had looked like for us. But then I think the main issue here actually really, besides the issue of, are you sure you've heard God? If yes, you have access to God, then go on and continue to ask God about what other questions you may have. But besides that, this person that you said is having bad attitude and bad character, what's the standard for good character and good attitude? And if we're going to come down to it as Christians, then the standard would be Christ. And the fact remains that all of us, humanly speaking, on this other side of reality and eternity, we fall short of that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only reason why we could stand before God is because we are standing in Christ. And that's a positional reality, not necessarily a practical reality in the sense that we are not perfect. We are all a work in progress, and that's actually where I'm going. So for you to say someone has bad attitude and bad character, wait until the person has the opportunity to also speak about you in honest, unfiltered terms, and then you discover that she can as well be a judge that would go on to ask this same question from some other people about you, Zach, and say, this Zach that God is saying I should marry, he's got some really, really weird beliefs and proclivities and inclinations and what have you. So all that's to say, really, marriage is the union of two imperfect people. That's not to excuse misbehavior. That's not to excuse bad attitude. But I'm just trying to first and foremost make you see, Zach, that you have only approached this from your perspective. But if the tables were turned, you could as well be the guy with a bad attitude and bad character, given the right circumstances, for that to find expression. So yeah, that's basically like an overview of the different sides to it that I'm looking at it from. Any thoughts?
Yes, I'm just following up on what you said. Like while you were saying it, I just thought to myself, is that comparing this lady with someone else?
Which is,
you know,
not
usually
when
we say someone that is bad, it's usually coming from the fact that we've seen someone that is good, and now compared to the other person, they'll find them to be bad. And Zach, if
relativity.
This is Yeah, if this is the issue, please let your God said be your God said.
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes it's very easy when we're in like in a fellowship or in a church, and there are so many sisters, well-behaved sisters, who doesn't talk back to the pastor, who doesn't ask questions that are controversial. And God is asking you to go and meet someone that is controversial and would push until she gets what she wants.
Mm. Mm.
If you're being honest with yourself, if the issue is about comparison, then you know what to deal with.
Mm. Yeah. That's right.
But if it's purely that you think that the person is bad, then caller's question to you would be very, very applicable to say that, what does bad mean? Because it's a relative term. Say, for example, if Joshua, if you go out to the shop and Joshua starts to throw tantrums and bang his head on the wall and do all sorts of things, we won't label him bad. His shame will be our shame. His embarrassment will be our embarrassment. We'll just try to carry him and go away to our house to cover ourselves and talk to him.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't a family and we're just passing by seeing a child throwing a tantrum, the first look on our face will be like, can't they control this child? Mm. That is so bad. That is really, really bad. We tend to stick label on things, especially negative labels, when it's not our thing, or when they're not our people, or they're not in our circle.
Mm.
So that might be something you need to address too. Because sometimes we've built our holiness like a triangle, that the holier we get, the isolated we become.
Mm.
So when we get to the peak of that triangle, we're looking down at others, we're unable to relate with them or reason with them.
Mm.
And it goes to my second point to say that there are some underlying issues that affect our character and our habits.
Mm.
And like Kola said, until you speak to this lady, you will know, you won't be able to exactly fathom why she behaves the way she behaves.
Mm.
You might have, but there are conversations that can't be held as just church member to church member or brother and sister. But when is your intended, you will have them.
Mm.
I'll give an example. I won't necessarily say I'm hot-headed, but when there's an issue that I feel strongly about, I strongly express my opinion.
In a strong way.
In a strong manner. That's just saying it subtly.
Yeah.
Whereas my husband, I've seen times and times and times again where there'll be an issue that he feels strongly about, but he would raise it in a very less strong manner that will actually relay the message to us in a strong way. I'm not sure if you get it. So I come with the strength of my conviction and bam, 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 just say it as it is. But he comes with the strength of his conviction. He has it. It stomachs it in. I don't know how he does that thing. But what comes out of after deep thought is grace. Mm. It's a speech that leaves my mouth wide open. Like, we've talked about this thing at home. Why are you saying something different?
Now somebody's blushing.
But at the end of it, after all he softened it and made it very good, you still somehow, unless you're deaf to what he's saying, you still know exactly what he's trying to tell you without him being overly firm. So now compare, Zach, don't lose the picture, sorry. I know when I do examples, I get overly, I'm getting overly again. So now compare it to, I'm thinking that you and the lady are together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, compare it to the both of you. She's bad. Can you be good? So much that she sees you're good and begin to be good. So the reason I gave Iron Collar's example is because my strong convictions now are now my midway in this. When I have a strong conviction and I want to do an outpouring, I tend to an outpouring. It sounds bad.
Sounds just like it.
It sounds like an outpouring because it doesn't stop. Gosh. Now I sit. I don't even sit on it. While I'm talking, I'm feeling the check. And I don't say it as I feel it. I consider the audience to say what I want to say. And the reason is because before I met Kola, I didn't think those things were bad. I didn't think saying what I think is bad. But I've learned that there's a way to say it that is graceful. So why can't I be graceful and still say what I want to say anyways? So you see that he somehow, without wanting to change me, has influenced me that I am willing to change because of his output.
Hmm.
So I'm saying that we as Christians, Zach, we are ambassadors.
Hmm.
We influence each other. That's like, she's bad in certain things, because I don't think she'll be bad in everything. What if she'll be a horrible person, cannot be living it with human beings? Let's agree that maybe a speech, the way she talks to people is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that this is bad because of your cultural background, like a man. How can you talk to a man like that? Sorry. All I'm trying to say is, she needs to know that it's bad and acknowledge that it's bad for any change to come. Mm. So there should be a discussion. So I'm basically saying to you, Zach, will you be able to come down your triangle and relate with her so she can get your point? And then begin to see what changes can be made. Because I, as a woman,
mm-hmm.
I've known that if they call a lady bad, those people, you can't even look at their eyes. Mm. They are scary. Even I, girl to girl, you're scared of them.
Mm.
But maybe this is your purpose. So just be that person for her. And then see what God is trying to do.
Mm. That's interesting.
Mm.
I think I would land it back where we started from, that it boils down back to your persuasion about this and the unlimited right of access you have to God. There is a wisdom to relate with people. There is different graces for every of our relationships.
Mm.
So there is a grace to relate with someone that is bad, not even only when you are supposed to be getting married to the person. There's a grace to relate with a bad coworker. There's a grace to relate with a bad friend, with a bad boss, with a bad leader, with a bad whatever thing you could qualify as bad in that sense. There is a grace to do that because there is Christ in you, fully resident in you. The Bible says Christ has become for us wisdom and righteousness and on like that. So the wisdom of God dwells in you, Zach. So the point is, with ongoing communication with your father, you know what to do per time. I'm choosing to agree with you that you are being led of God. In which case, this then becomes a walkover, really, because you have God fully resident with you to journey with you through it. And of course, to cap it all, either finds a wife, has found a good thing, and obtains favor from God. So if this is God's gift to you, then rejoice in the wife of your youth. And of course, that's what matters most. When you have embraced the gift of God, you will then begin to enjoy the gift of God. If you have not embraced it, you can't enjoy it. The reason why you are looking from outside of the possibilities of your relationship and judging or estimating as being bad attitude is because you are yet to embrace that gift. If you embrace that gift, with time you begin to enjoy it. There's a bit of that in our story, that we didn't go into the relationship because we felt attracted to each other, or that we really loved each other, or that both of us ticked our boxes and she looked exactly like the kind of person I want and I looked exactly like the kind of person she wants.
Mm.
If anything, the contrary was more like it. But because both of us, or each of us individually and eventually collectively, embraced one another as God's gift for one another, it then became possible to begin to unpack the suitcases that we are both coming with from all our journeys prior to the moment when we began to come together into this endless journey of becoming one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you are doubly sure God is leading you and you are clear about the timing of when to do what and all of that, then embrace God's gift and let the enjoyment begin. God bless you, Zach.
Amen.
Any concluding words for Zach?
And I would also say that if, as Kola said, you're doubly sure, then it might be time to start saying that she's a good woman. Because the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So let your words start forming to say she's a good woman. And the more you say it, the more it will be. Because faith is a hope for the things we can't see. Hope of what is to come. So start saying you found a good person. This person that God is bringing to you, she's a good woman. And then lean into the Holy Spirit and hear His whisper. Follow His nudges. Do what He says you should do. And you'll find that within time, you both have gelled. Yeah. And just one thing to add, it might not be a general thing,
mm-hmm.
but just to say that you will notice that some women that are actually bad, I keep saying women, but because we're talking about women, that we would say they're literally, literally horrible. When they're with their husbands, they're like giggling and soft and mushy, mushy. But you dare not approach them even in that softness because they'll look at you like, hey, what do you want? What are you doing? What are you doing? And things. So the Bible is actually correct. He who finds a good wife, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. But the neighbors might not see it as a good thing. The church members might not see it as a good thing. That's a work in progress. But you would see it as a... You, it's not even that you would. You, it is a good thing for you. So she is a good woman for you. And I'm just hoping that you start professing this.
Hmm.
And not bottle it up just because it's a God-said thing. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you very much for the insights and the wisdom shared.
Thank you,
and thank you, Zach, for that lovely question. Apologies that I said maybe you shouldn't even have asked us. I believe you got the point. Thank you to all our listeners and to everyone that once in a while sends in a feedback about how the episodes are helping them. We really do delightfully appreciate that. If you also have a question that you want to ask, you can go on josephkolaole.org and drop in a message on the contact form. And would pick it up from there and respond in one of the subsequent episodes.
Yes.
You can as well, again, search our growing archive of few episodes now. Mm-hmm. Season 1 was about 31 episodes, mm-hmm. and we've started season 2 now.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, again, is available on josephkolaole.org.
Mm-hmm.
josephkolaole.org. All the links and details are in the show notes. They're in the mm-hmm. description, so... feel free to engage therein. Till yes. next time, when we'll come your way again, remember, you are not alone
today.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.